I'm Tom Merritt.
And we are here, episode 2 of the show, and we're doing something a little bit different this time. We are actually kind of recording live in our Yahoo Live chat room. Hopefully that won't bring everything crashing down to a screeching halt. Am I mixing metaphors again? I do that after a glass of wine.
Perhaps.
Too. I'm sorry.
You're mixing metaphors with wine. That'll make you sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite queasy. Anyhow, we are at, right now, chapters 3 and 4 of Neuromancer. Tom has actually read pretty significantly far ahead, so we're just going to discredit everything he says because he knows too much.
Well, no, I'm gonna try not to reveal anything. I've got my copy of Neuromancer right here.
On your Kindle. They can't see that,
I can,
Tom.
Reference it.
The people listening on
The people on the audio podcast just think I have the book next to me.
Yeah, Starman is pointing out that the chat window just totally borked, and that's true. It did crash. So hopefully...
And this is the problem with recording a podcast while Yahoo Live is going, is you start to get distracted.
Things are happening. I know. When I listen to Extra Life, they always have a live chat room going on at the same time, and Scott totally ignores it because he doesn't actually want to see anything happening, and I'm exactly the same way. I get totally caught up in what's going on in the chat room. So guys, don't distract me. Just don't talk. Don't do anything. Just sit quietly and listen.
Quiet.
They're talking. I can see them. They're talking right now.
I saw that.
Anyhow.
Oh, somebody borked it. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so a couple of things before we get into the Neuromancer discussion. You wanted to talk about the Dresden Files, no?
Correct, yes. The Dresden Files are a series of books that I read years and years ago, and I really loved it at the time. I was reading it while I was, I had my feet operated on, so I was laid up for about a month. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And so my dad gave me a bunch of books to read. The Dresden Files were one of the series that he let me read at the time. And I got very much into it. And then the other night when I was cruising around Blockbuster, I saw that there was a mini-series called The Dresden Files. I was like, oh my gosh, holy crap. Picked it up, started to watch. Actually, I didn't pick it up there. I Netflixed it. And got it the other day, watched the first 4 episodes, and it was really good. It was really, really interesting. It's all about a wizard that lives in Chicago, and he hires himself out not only to the local police department, but to people in general to help solve, you know, kind of crimes that they've got going on, usually a little bit in the, you know, magic area, weird stuff happening, demons, hellions, all sorts of cool stuff. So I recommend it thoroughly. I suggest you Netflix that series. I got the first disc, and I'm really having a good time with it.
Was it more than one season? Because Uber Rocket pointed out it wasn't a mini series; it was actually a full-on series. But what I'm trying to figure out is if they actually had a second season or if it was just that one season.
I don't know how far it went into the season. I saw 3 discs, and I don't know how far that went. But I don't know. I'm gonna watch them and see how they go. I don't know how long it went off.
I remember seeing it advertised, and I never got around to watching it. So I'm glad that you're recommending it, because I think it might be worth catching up. Although I've got so much stuff.
So much stuff to catch up on right now?
To catch up on. I'm actually rewatching all of Futurama.
All of Futurama?
Yeah.
That's going to take you a little bit of time.
It'll take a while, yeah. I'm back in, like, 1999 right now.
I was actually talking to one of my shooters for Mahalo Daily. He has been letting his son watch it, and his son got totally into it, and that's all he ever watches right now. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the best thing, necessarily, for your little kid to be watching, but, you know, they get a kick out of it. So he's been saying bastard a lot, apparently, though, which is something that Bender says from time to time.
Uh-oh.
What have you been into lately?
Well, I actually wanted to mention a posting I started in the Ning group at Sword and Laser. Neil Gaiman is going to give away one of his books as an ebook. There's a post up on Boing Boing talking about it, and I started put a posting up in the Sword and Laser too. If you can find it, if you want to try to find it there, but. Essentially, he's decided to go the Cory Doctorow route. He's going to give away an electronic version of one of his books, and he's letting fans vote on which book it'll be. So American Gods is one of the books up in the vote, which is why I thought it was appropriate to Sword and Laser. I'm trying to pull up the Boing Boing thing right now so I can get the other titles. Mm-hmm. Anansi Boys, Coraline, Fragile Things, Stardust, Smoke and Mirrors, Neverwhere, and M is for Magic are the books up for the vote. So you can actually go to journal.neilgaiman.com and you can find the vote directly there. I think that's pretty cool. I like the way he's approaching this, which is like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Which one do you think I should give away? And he points out, he says, this isn't about which one should be free. He's like, which one of these do you think would make people want to read more of my stuff? Because that's why
Oh,
I want to
that's a
give
good
it
point.
away for free.
That's a
He's
good
like, he
point.
said, he says, which one do you think, not as your favorite, but if you were giving one away to a friend who had never read anything of mine, what would it be? Where would you want them to start?
And what do you suggest? What do you think should be the one that he gives away?
You know what? That's the thing is, I haven't read enough Neil Gaiman, so I would like to, well, one I haven't read to be given away for
Yeah.
free.
I would have to say Neverwhere, I think, would be the one
Yeah.
that I would tell people to read first, at least. Or
That's probably,
Sorcerer's
because
Stone.
American Gods it was a little weird for us to do that in Sword and Laser because it threw you into the Neil Gaiman universe, not in the middle of things, so to speak, but it definitely wasn't the easiest one for a lot of people to get into. But the thing is, American Gods is winning. So I imagine a lot of people disagree with me on that.
That's interesting.
But now.
It's too bad that we didn't find out about this. It's too bad we couldn't get it for free for the book club before everyone went out and bought it. But that
Yeah,
would have
right.
been kind of convenient.
Well, Neverwhere is in second place, actually, at 21%. So
Still time to catch up then.
the fans agree with you there. I'd
Yeah.
probably have to say Neverwhere. I think never, not that American Gods is hard, but Neverwhere seems to be like a good example. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. So anyway, we should probably get to the topic at hand, which is the book, Neuromancer. And as I said, last episode was chapters 1 and 2, so we should be about chapters 3 and 4 at this point. And this is really where kind of the action starts to get rolling. So why don't you give us a brief synopsis of what's been happening in these past 2 chapters?
You want me to give the
Yeah, I'm
synopsis?
gonna
See,
put it
because
on you. You're far ahead, but I don't really
I'm
understand a
far
lot of
ahead, so
what's
I have to
going on right
remember.
now. I'm having a hard time
Okay, so we'll.
following at this point, actually. I'm starting to get a little bit lost with some of the things that are going on, and I don't know what the deal is.
Well, let's try to work it out. So the first couple chapters, we get to the Bama, right? That's the Boston to Atlanta metropolis, and we're out of Japan. Things are starting to cook, right? They're starting to move. He's getting his equipment. He's going to go. We get our first taste of cyberspace. He hooks into the Matrix and kind of pokes around a little bit. We meet Dixie Flatline. And I should say to anybody listening to this on the Yahoo Live feed that, spoilers aplenty here if you haven't read Neuromancer. So just be forewarned. We meet Dixie Flatline. We learn about him, kind of learn about his past. He's a construct. Essentially, they've taken somebody's mind and duplicated it into an avatar, into a virtual reality person. And then in chapter four, we get a little bit of hanging out with Molly. We meet the Panther Moderns, which is kind of a gang. And apparently, this is named after the San Francisco rock band, the Panther Moderns, which was led by one of William Gibson's friends. I'm getting that off
Oh,
of that
okay.
reader's guide. So Molly's trying to penetrate the SenseNet headquarters in Atlanta so she can steal Dixie Flatline. So Dixie Flatline can then help Case with his deal, and they're getting the Panther Moderns to help them do a distraction so she can get in and do the stealing.
All right, and so they actually succeeded, which is good. Did I go too far?
No, I don't think so. I'm not. If you remember it, then
That's true.
then I
Yeah,
think it's
I've
okay.
read a little bit further, but not too far. But it's really interesting, especially with all the Microsofts, which are something that a lot of the kids are using these days, and they put them in their ear.
Yeah, well, you get a little port stuck in your below your ear, right? And then you can put the Microsofts. Which is hilarious, right? That he calls them Microsofts. But you put them in the ear, and then it gives you like extra cognitive abilities, I suppose.
Yeah, it's obviously a call to, obviously the company Microsoft, who was very young at that time, but I like that they're using it as kind of a noun to describe these things that are changing their whole experience. And there's a lot of interesting things in the study guide, actually, that helped clear a lot of the things up for me. It was just a whole lot of information thrown at once. You know, it's a lot of terms that he expects you to know because you're supposed to be aware of what's going on in the universe, but at the same time, they're not used in a lot of the same ways that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I think you sort of get lulled into a false sense when you read it these days too, because some of the words are so common now that weren't then. I can imagine it would be even more confusing in a way to read it back in 1984. But then because you think you're familiar with some of them, then the ones that you don't know, or the ones like Microsoft that mean something totally different, then it kind of shakes you a little more. But I did feel like it was a little less confusing than the stuff that happened in Japan, because you're starting to get a purpose now and you're starting to get rolling. And it also feels like when you get past those first three and four and you start to – they actually go on the raid and they get Dixie Flatline. And then later on you're going to meet Dixie Flatline. You'll get to know him and understand a little more about cyberspace. Like, things start to coalesce. I don't know if it's just because you start to get your bearings and you're starting to not be confused as much. But by the time we get out of this part, the shopping trip, and into the next part, the next section, I feel like the book is becoming a little more manageable.
Yeah, totally. What do you think was the hack that they did into the company that freaked everyone out so bad? How do you think that worked?
I'm sorry, say it again?
The hack that freaked everyone out in the company and made them all go crazy.
Where is that?
You know, they put the images up on the screens inside the company, and then everyone kind of loses their mind, and the police are fighting with them on the outside.
Oh, right, that the Panther Moderns used for the distraction. Yeah,
right.
Okay, I'm with you now.
I couldn't figure out exactly what they were doing that was making them all go so nuts.
Well, it's sort of like a combination of steganography and neural programming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something embedded in the image that just reprograms the brain. And it's pretty unlikely, but it's definitely possible for you to have a hidden image. I mean, you put it this way. Steganography is the ability to hide code in an image, right? And then very roughly speaking. And then there are definitely patterns that can cause seizures, you know, it could cause people to go into seizures. So you kind of mix that together and it kind of temporarily reprograms everyone. It's a pretty cool idea. Not very likely, but then again, we're living in the future, so why not?
Exactly. And then we have the whole code word at the very end of the chapter that Lupus Yonder Boy gives to Case, and that's Wintermute.
Yes.
Wintermute. And that's something that I'm sure we're going to see more of in the future. But
yeah, you'll actually learn.
That was kind of cryptic.
You'll actually learn very quickly what that's about. That's not one that's going to hang around like a lost mystery and be unveiled slowly. You'll learn very quickly what it is, but there's still going to be a lot of mystery behind that too, because another mystery pops up right away. So Wintermute is actually pretty cool, and I can't wait till we get to the point where we can talk about it.
Oh, you know too much. It's not fair. I haven't had enough chance to read lately. It's driving me crazy. So let's talk a little bit about how Case can pop in and out of Molly's consciousness almost. That's something that's really interesting to me, at least, because a lot of the technology that they talk about in the book is feasible in a lot of ways, but this is definitely something that we're not even close to in terms of the modern day. I thought that was really neat. I mean, he could see through her eyes, but he couldn't control anything that she was doing. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's sort of the ultimate life casting.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a webcam on somebody, you're actually tapping into the neural input of both the eyes and the ears, and then feeding it into this matrix construct. And the idea being that, you know, the way he attaches to the matrix isn't just by a computer, right? He like jacks in with his deck,
yeah,
so that he is actually living inside cyberspace. He's walking around, moving around. It's all tapped into his neurons. So it's a total virtual reality. So it's a pretty easy step to say, okay, well, let's just take the neural inputs from Molly and hijack those, rebroadcast them wirelessly back to your deck, and then your deck picks them up, and then you can see and feel everything she's seeing and feeling.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little too hardcore for me. I don't think I'd be into that.
Wow, you life cast.
Yeah, but that's not seeing through someone else's eyes exactly in the same way. Not
Well,
really life
and
cast.
also
This is kind of
feeling,
most
like,
like this Yahoo thing.
he has all the senses, not just seeing and hearing. He's also got the sense of touch, like, when she picks something up, he could
Which
feel her,
that's
and that,
when
you
you
know,
get
of
your leg
course,
broken.
messes with him. Yeah. Well, right, because that kicks him off when she breaks her leg.
Right.
Because he can't take it. He has to, like, force himself to go back in
Big
and
baby.
feel the pain.
Can't deal with what
Hey,
she's going through.
feel the pain with her, right? To bring them that much closer.
So we're
You
definitely
know, as
a lot of stuff is happening in this chapter, and it's picking up the pace quite a bit. And I'm pretty excited about the stuff that is going on in this part of the book right now. It took me a
Yeah, it
little
really
while to get caught up in the story, but I think it's going a lot better for me now.
Yeah, I think you'll get caught up in the story more and more now that he's kind of not done, but he's definitely slowing down, throwing all these new ideas at you, and he's starting now that you've gotten used to them, he's starting to use them. So it gets a lot more interesting. And I like the folks on the Sword and Laser group at Ning that have been say, who have read it before, who've read Neuromancer before, and have been saying how much they enjoy reading it a second time because they see so many more things and they understand so many more things that were going on. So it's a book that's worth a second read from what they're saying.
I like also that a lot of people in the book club are surprised that it was written in 1984. I mean, that's one thing that we talked about in the last podcast was that it's pretty amazing that for a book that was written so long ago, to have the dialogue and the vocabulary of technology that's relatively, even new today, it's pretty advanced, and people are kind
Well,
of surprised about that.
Wired Magazine has a really good article about this. I was talking to Molly Wood about it this afternoon, about the fact that science fiction is sort of the modern day great literature because, unlike previous literature, it doesn't talk so much about what happened, but it actually pushes us into the future. And you can see so many examples of where science fiction has posited something and actually caused us to go and develop it. And you see little examples of that with things like cyberspace and ice in Neuromancer.
Exactly. Well, very cool stuff. I think that's all I've got to talk about. You have anything else?
Yeah, I was going to throw in a couple of comments off the discussion at swordandlaser.com, at swordandlaser.ning.com specifically. Damien posted and said, "My first impression, meh." He gave it a meh. Says, "I'm about halfway through, but I have to say this book was really hard to read. There's something unrefined in his writing style that made getting through the first few chapters a bit of a chore. And of course, this is sci-fi, and by the time I was about a third of the way in, I had adapted and was hooked. So now it gets a meh plus.
A meh
But considering
plus.
how old the book is, I'm pleased with seeing all the themes be created that were subsequently refined and ripped off by later authors and directors." And then what really surprised me is a lot of other people jumped in and said, "Yeah, I would say it's not that great. It's a weird start." A lot of people were put off by all that confusion at the beginning.
That's interesting. I mean, that's kind of a problem, as I mentioned last time, too, that I've had with other William Gibson books in the past. But yet, this is definitely a classic of the genre. I mean, it's a book that everyone has read that's into cyberpunk, and even most people who are into sci-fi. So I wonder if it's just it gets so much better towards the end that people, remember it very fondly and remember it as being a truly excellent book, or if it's something that, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're just not seeing yet. Who knows?
Well, yeah, it seems the people who have read it replying in this theme about the meh, like Vidsaw said, "This is pretty interesting to read other people's impressions. I haven't reread this in years, but for me, back in the day, this was the book, and Gibson was the author. So I doubt I'd be able to look at it objectively." And James from Pittsburgh says, "I really think this book is one that improves with rereads. I have had a much more lukewarm reaction to it the first time I read it, but I'm finding I enjoy it a lot more on the reread."
All right, well, I think that's everything. I think next time we're going to, I don't know, we'll either try Yahoo again or maybe try TalkShoe, which is something that we said last time. I'm not too familiar with how TalkShoe works, but a
I
lot of people
haven't done
use
it
it.
as much, but yeah, let's give it a shot, and we'll just, like we tried with the live, we'll try the talk shoe.
That sounds good. All right, guys. So check out the blogs at swordandlaser.com, and the forums are at swordandlaser.ning.com. And you can go there to continue all the discussion and subscribe to the podcast. We're at episode 2. We've got over 1,000 members of the Sword and Laser group now, which is kind of exciting. And I think we also have some things to give away at some point.
Yeah, we do. Some nice folks at Microsoft sent us some Xbox 360 games that we have to figure out a mechanism to give away. But he said in his thing, he's like, maybe for a Sword and Laser meetup. So I don't know whether it's a meetup or we just give them away during a podcast. We'll figure out some.
Indeed, yes, it is. We definitely have a lot to figure out. And a meetup would be fun, but the whole point of the Sword and Laser group is that it's an online book club. And I always get emails being like, hey, you guys, I really want to join the book club, but I live in Boston and you're in San Francisco. And I'm like, no, dude,
yeah.
That you know, the whole point is that we're chatting about the books online. But yeah, a meetup, I mean, if we get enough members that we get interested in a meetup, I think that would be fun.
Yeah, we'll start with the online giveaway, though, it sounds like.
All right, cool. Well, then I guess until next time when we go over chapters, what is it going to be at that point? 5 and 6?
Yeah, let's move into, let's try to finish up the 5, 6, and 7. You think you can pull it off?
I think I can get that far. I think I can make a good effort. I don't know.
Hold on. We did 3 and 4. So yeah, let's do 5, 6, and 7, finish up part 2. So then we can do part 3, Midnight in the Rue Jules Verne.
All right. We'll pick up the pace in terms of the chapter frequency per podcast. I think I can handle that. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
See you on swordandlaser.com. Make me weak and strange, get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon. Never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes.